Here in 1 Peter, we've been dealing with focuses on for suffering believers or believers going through various trials. We have learned the last couple of weeks that God wants us to have right reactions in the midst of suffering. And those right reactions include remembering our privileges. And it also includes resolving to make biblical progress in some ways. If we can drop the screen tonight, and we'll try to keep the PowerPoint in front of you so that you can follow along with the major points. But in making biblical progress, we talked about a protected mind, how that we have to gird up the loins of our mind. Listen, most spiritual warfare that you deal with is right here. Every time you deal with warfare, it's going to begin right here. And thoughts that plague your mind and attack relationships in your life or attack your peace. Boy, I've been dealing with some believers that, boy, the peace is gone. It just seems worry and anxiety and fear and a lot of things that can steal peace. All of that is directed right here at the mind. And Peter knew that. The Holy Spirit knew it. He said, gird up the loins of your mind, or you have to grow in the area of developing a protected mind. You also have to develop a persistent temperance, not allowing outside things to control you. We talked about that in impulses, how that we all face different impulses and trials, and that we ought not to just give in to impulses. And we can make bad decisions there. We can go in a wrong direction there in our lives. We can say wrong things if we give in to impulses. We're to be sober. Then to have a positive outlook, we need to grow in that and have hope. Any situation that we're dealing with is not hopeless. Because of God, there's hope in every situation. And the Bible talks about hoping to the end at the end of chapter number 1. A purposeful resistance. We don't want to become like the world when we're suffering. And then to have a pure conduct. And those are things that we can make spiritual progress in the midst of suffering or trials. There's a third thing that is a right reaction, and that is to recall, if you remember that word, recall the portrait of God. Let's see if we can get this on, if we can turn the presentation on, and then I'll try to control it from here. Look at 1 Peter chapter 1. We'll go back into chapter 1 for a moment. And I want you to identify in your thinking as we read these verses what the Holy Spirit reminds us about as far as who God is. Begin reading in verse number 15, 1 Peter chapter 1. But as he which hath called you is holy, so be holy in all manner of conversation, because it is written, be holy, for I am holy. And if ye call on the Father, who without respect of persons judgeth according to every man's work, pass the time of your sojourning here in fear. For as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things, as silver and gold, from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times to you. Some things jumped out of the Bible at me as I was thinking about these believers and what they needed to focus on, how they needed to grow, what would produce right reactions in their lives in the midst of suffering. And I was reminded that God, and I need to be reminded of this in suffering, is holy. He's holy. Therefore, my reactions in suffering need to be holy. Not profane. Not common. Not saying words that are slipshod about our Lord. But to remember that God is holy. Second thing I saw in this passage about recalling the character of God is that God is judge. God is judge. In verse number 17, who without respect of persons judgeth according to every man's work. Now, put yourself in first century during the time when Peter's writing in the shoes of these believers who are being persecuted, and what would be the temptation if you were persecuted? fight back, accuse, retaliate, right? Revenge. But Peter says, God is judge. Let God be the judge. You know, sometimes trials come where we feel we've been wronged. Let God be the judge. That's a good reminder to me. It's a good reminder to you tonight. In the midst of suffering, we better recall some things about God. Number one, He's holy. My responses need to be holy. Number two, He's judge. Let God be judge. Did you ever realize that in the midst of a trial where your emotions are, that you might just judge somebody's motives wrong? That you might just judge somebody's words and misunderstand them and misread them as wrong? Did you ever think that your judgment might just be wrong at times? Mine has been. I know I've misjudged situations. I've misjudged people. God never misjudges. He never judges wrong. Let God be judge. Number three, God is redeemer. When we're thinking about right reactions, it is good to recall the character of God. And Peter is slipping these things in at the end of chapter number one. Hey, don't forget that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things of silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers. Now, again, I'm putting myself in the text. I'm trying to think through what they're going through. These are scattered people, right? That means what? They probably have lost what they owned. All right? And what does he remind them of? You may have lost things that are worth silver and gold, but don't forget what you have in God, your Redeemer. Because what you've been bought with is much more precious than silver and gold. Remember that you have been redeemed, my friend, in whatever trial you're in. The trial may look like your life is the worst it could be. But remember, in your trial, right response here, recall who God is. He's my Redeemer. I have something more precious than anything that I may have lost right now. I have salvation. I have it through the precious blood of Christ. Recall who the Lord is. Number four, God is personal. Look at verse 20. Who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you. In the midst of chaos. By the way, there's chaos in America. Justice Department just came out yesterday and said it is legal for anybody to mandate COVID vaccines. Businesses, whatever. Chaotic. But in those days, and no matter what the report is, doctor's report, bad news report, does God still give us His fingerprints on a day? Is He still going to make the sun rise tomorrow and set it and scatter the stars and the moon and uphold the world by the word of His power and take care of you and me? Yes, because He's personal. God is not forgetting anybody. And we're reminded of that. Number five, God is the giver of life. He's the giver of life. Let's go to the next slide. God is the giver of life, and we'll go one more. Look at verse number 23. 1 Peter 1, verse 23. Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. Being born again means I got new life. You say, but preacher, everything's heavy. There are heavy things, but would you understand what the Spirit of God is saying to us tonight? In those heavy things, there are things that we ought to look to that would brighten our day and change our perspective and give us a heart of thanksgiving for who God is. He's Redeemer. He's the giver of life here in this passage. He's the judge. He's holy. Lastly, His Word endures forever. It doesn't pass away. It's not something that's going to be left unfulfilled. His word endures forever, and all of these things point to recalling the portrait of God. Now, my friend, could I give you a verse that sums up these truths tonight? It's found in Isaiah. You may know the verse. It was the verse that God led me to Mount Zion Baptist Church 22 years ago. It was a verse I studied in devotions. And it was a verse that God made alive to my spirit at that time. You know it well. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. Now here's the truth of the scripture as we summarize this right response of recalling this God, recalling our God and who he is. When I fix my mind there, when I refocus my mind there, God promises something to my soul. And that is perfect peace. When I'm not in perfect peace, dear Christian, when you're not in perfect peace, then your mind is in the wrong place. I say that on the authority of the Word of God. Because perfect peace is promised to somebody that stays his mind on the Lord. And when my mind is on the Lord and who God is, it is a lot easier to trust God with the suffering or the trial. The Holy Spirit writes to scattered believers in the last 8 verses of 1 Peter 1. Let me direct your mind to God. Let me direct your mind as to who He is. Get your mind on God. Why? Because that's going to do something for your soul. And it's going to do something for your faith. And that's where they would need to grow. That's what God is trying to grow. And so we learn these right reactions. Let's go to the next slide, if you can help me, just because I'm not very good with this. We're looking at verses 1 through 10 of 1 Peter chapter 2 now. And these verses really point out to the believers that are suffering that there really should be a difference between believers going through suffering and those that are not believers going through suffering. As the story goes, a man found an eagle's egg and put it in a nest of a barnyard hen. The eagle hatched with the chicks, and all his life he did what the barnyard chicks did, thinking he was a barnyard chicken. He scratched the earth for worms and clucked like the chickens. Years passed by and the eagle grew old. One day he saw a magnificent bird above him in the cloudless sky, and it glided in graceful majesty among powerful wind currents. The old eagle looked up in awe. "What is that?" he asked. "That's the eagle, the king of the birds," said his neighbor. "He belongs to the sky. We belong to the earth." So the eagle lived and died a chicken, for that's what he thought he was. Peter paints the same comparison. Unbelievers live of the earth in the midst of suffering. But believers live in the heavenlies. Sometimes we get living like the chickens in the pen. When God put within us the ability to soar like an eagle. Remember the verse in Isaiah 40, anybody? Verse number 31. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. There's a verbal word picture by the Word of God that paints the picture that we are able to run and not grow weary and walk and not faint and soar like an eagle. 1 Peter chapter 2 gives us that. Look at these words, if you would. Look down at verse number 9. Verse number 9. "But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. Look at verse number 10. Which in time past were not a people. You know, He's not talking to Israel here. He's talking to the church. He's saying, hey, there was a people in the Old Testament. That's Israel. But you Gentiles, you were not a people at one point. But ye are now a what? A people. You're now a people. I brought you together. You're a church. You're a family. You're God's family, He says. Man, there's some things that have changed. Some wonderful things here. Verse number 5, ye also as lively stones are built up a spiritual house and holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. And so, I jotted down 4 things that ought to be different in the believer's life in the midst of various trials. Let's go to the next slide, if you will. If you'll help me go to the next slide. And these are the 4 things that I want to give you. Number 1, in the midst of a trial, the believer's pursuit should be different. The difference of pursuit. Look at verses 1 and 2 and we'll stop here tonight, okay? And finish up next week. Verse number 1 says, wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisies and envies and all evil speakings, don't those things come out of people's lives that are unbelievers in the midst of suffering? Envies, guile, deceit, hypocrisies, acting, putting on a front, evil speakings about people, about how unfair life is, about how mean God is. Don't unbelievers do that in the midst of trials? But you're different. You have God. Now, look at verse 2. As newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby. If so be, ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious. Huh. He says laying aside. In another passage, the same word is put off. In another passage in Romans 13, it's cast off these things. The unbeliever pursues the desires, the lust, the cravings, the appetite of the old nature, and never more than in the midst of a trial. But the Spirit says, you're different. Your pursuit is to be different. Instead of following all those things and pursuing all those things, you're laying those things aside, and as newborn babes, you desire the sincere milk of the Word. Malice is an interesting word. It means to be deliberate by your will to try to do something to harm somebody else. Wait. He's speaking to newborn babes in some sense here. And he's saying, boy, one of the first things you need to get rid of in your life is this malice. You need to lay it aside. Not looking to do other people harm here. He urges them to stop using offensive language and things that would hurt others. He urges them to lay aside deceit and hypocrisies and instead pursue the milk of the Word. Some things to remind you of here. Remember that newborn babes, we can't expect them to act like mature veterans of the faith. But remember this, a newborn babe can desire, their appetite can change for the Word. We get them the Word. Brethren, I want you to understand, the best thing that we can give people when they come to Mount Zion Baptist Church is the Word of God. It is the Word of God that develops people. It is the Word of God that builds them up spiritually. It is the Word of God that helps them to grow and to discern right from wrong and to see the steps of becoming more like Christ and less like the world. It is the Word of God. That is what we hold high at our church, is the Word of God, because that's what God uses to change people's lives. And so the Word of God, just like it plays an important part in the new birth. Listen, 21 children last week. You know what they heard? They heard the Word of God. You know what the Word of God did in them? It convicted them of their need of a Savior. You know what their response was? Faith. It changed them. Just as much as an unbeliever needs the Word, so we need the Word to be nourished right. Our pursuit is different. Christian, in your trial, is your pursuit different? There's a stark contrast. Man, the world, they pursue their lust. They pursue all the sins of the spirit. They pursue evil speaking. They have no control of themselves. But I'm a believer. And my pursuit ought to be this. As newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the Word. There's no substitute for it, Christian. Let me remind you tonight. Worldly books, magazines, TV programs cannot nourish my new life. That does it. The Word of God does it. Christian books. I do a lot of reading. And I read a lot of good Christian books. But you know what? They're not alive like this book is. This book is divine. It's alive. It's living. And we need to be different. Next one.
Thank you for joining us by way of the internet today. We're so glad that you were able to be with us, and we pray that the service was a blessing to your heart. Even though the sermon is over, our service is not over. At the end of our service, we give an opportunity for people to respond and come to an altar and pray over what God dealt with them about. Sometimes people come to call upon Christ and to be saved. Others come to make a decision for Christ regarding their Christian lives. Others come to call out to the Lord about special needs and situations in their lives. Maybe God has dealt with you today about some specific area of your life. I invite you to make an altar right there in your home, a quiet time before the Lord where you pray to Him and respond to Him about what He has spoken to you about. If you made a decision for the Lord today, we would be glad to hear about that decision and or answer any questions you have today about the message that was preached. You can contact us by way of email at info@mountziononline.org or by way of phone at 717-927-9227. Again, we thank you for joining us today, and we look forward to you joining us again for our live stream weekly on Sundays at 10:45 a.m. and on Sunday evenings at 6:45 p.m. If we can meet a need in your life, please do not hesitate to contact us. Thank you, and God bless you.